Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeff.
And I'm Tommy.
All right, let's get started.
All right.
Take four.
We were struggling with the intro this time.
Funny.
It's all right, man.
All right. We got through it.
Beauty of editing.
We should keep those bloopers.
That's right. So, who do you guys have winning the NBA Finals tonight?
Pacers.
Yes.
Yes.
Pacers. Yeah, why?
Yeah, why?
Hilliburton?
It's nostalgia for me, man. Reggie Miller. I'm a Reggie Miller
fan. He doesn't
fan.
Play for him anymore.
I know. Reggie Miller, man. That
been,
was
been a minute.
But that's the thing. I had to explain to my boys. They're like, who's that guy? I'm like, oh, it's Reggie. And they're like, who's Reggie? I'm like, who's Reggie? I mean, that's when you thought of Indiana, you thought of Reggie. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chokehold.
Oh, man. Love it.
I like Tyrese Halliburton just because he got so funny because the announcers in one game were like saying, oh, he's not doing it. And then dude hits a game winner. And then he's like, has the most game winning shots in like playoff. Anyway,
yeah,
they have a stat for everything.
Yeah,
their defense is pretty stout. It's fun to watch.
What's three that to one three. Guy? That one tall guy on the Pacers. I can't think of his
Siakam.
Name.
Siakam.
Yes, Siakam. That dude, beast.
Yeah,
he looks so tall and like you know,
he's
lanky.
Long,
but
yeah.
Man, he is a beast.
Yeah, he's the Draymond Green of the Pacers.
Yeah,
he's
without
everywhere
without the anger.
I was going to say
fouls.
I'm not a Draymond fan.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, though. If you're a Grizzlies fan, can you even go for the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Why?
Who's Memphis?
No. I mean, well, the Thunder and the Grizzlies were a big rivalry for years and years and years.
Yeah, and like the going to the playoffs and stuff for
I mean, it's a huge rivalry. It's a huge rivalry.
Yeah, no, that doesn't. It's a pros, man. It's not like college. Yeah.
I like SGA, though.
Yeah, he is.
He's good.
He's a baller.
Yeah. Yep.
He
I could see it going either way.
He hadn't played with me.
Good call out, Jeff. It's game seven, so it's literally going to go either way.
It's 50-50.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun because, you know, some years it's like completely dominant, one-sided, and that's not fun to watch. However, I did want to bring up one more game before we get started.
Yeah.
Did you watch the NCAA Baseball World Series? Championship.
No.
The game leading to the championship.
Nope.
With Arkansas.
Oh, I watched the highlights.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I felt terrible.
That was tough.
That was really, really tough.
Yeah.
Could have turned a double play. It'd have been done. Yeah. Didn't do it. Got one out. Pop up to the outfield. Dude stumbles, hits his shoulder.
But that's how it happens.
I know.
It's a pebble, turns into an avalanche.
It's true. It just kind of blew me away watching it. It was just like, I couldn't believe I was watching
it. I did watch the interview with Coastal Carolina, and they were asking him, you know, what's something you admire about LSU baseball? And the kids they had up there, they were interviewing, they all kind of looked at each other, and one of them was like, nothing. it's been going a little viral in that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. College sports love it.
Yeah. Ugh. LSU, gross.
Hey.
All right.
Yuck, Tiger. Yeah, whatever y'all say.
What?
Yeah, guh, Tiger.
Gucks.
I spell it wrong.
Gucks.
Yeah. We were watching it. There was a guy on the had it on the back of his shirt. Aaron said, Joe Tigers. What is Joe Tigers? I was like, wow.
She was being serious.
No, she was being dead serious.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
She was like, oh, I missed it. Anyway. All right. So I wanted to bring up a children's worship lesson that we had that was really, really in depth and powerful. And I love teaching kids because not only will they just tell you flat out truth, they want to learn and they just kind of give you that unfiltered response and they'll open up and share their stuff. It's just really fun to teach kids. And sometimes they bring up a perspective that you're like, oh, yeah, I never thought about it that way. But we did today, Philemon, and you know, Philemon is just one chapter. And to give you the backstory of it, kind of paint the picture of what we're going to talk about, Philemon has a slave named Onesimus. And Onesimus, we don't know exactly what happens, but he runs away. And he runs away and runs right to Paul, and Paul leads him to the Lord, and they end up in prison. for their faith. And anyway, Onesimus has been a complete supporter and encourager to Paul while he's in prison and all the things. And so Paul then writes a letter back to Philemon saying, hey, whatever I want you to know, number one, he's accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Like, his life is different. And I want you to not only forgive him if he's done you wrong and stolen anything from you, put that on my account and I'll pay it back double. I want you to forgive him, and I don't want you to just forgive him. I want you to receive him as an equal, as a brother in Christ. And that was a challenge. And the book ends and you don't know what Philemon does, right? So we kind of left that open-ended, like, what do you think happened? Do you think Philemon responded in this? You know, mm-hmm. and just kind of let kids kind of come up with their own conclusion of that. And so it was kind of fun to dive into that a little bit. But it was really interesting to paint that picture into our own lives. Like, how would we receive someone who has wronged us? I mean, really wronged us, hurt us, lied to us, stolen from us. How would we receive their apology? Or would you? You know, thinking about things that are pricey, right? And I'm not talking about material possessions. I'm talking about things that you can't get back. You know, you think about abuse. You think about those level of hurts, innocence stolen, life-changing hurts that people have done to you. And then they come back and say, hey, listen, this is what the Lord's done in my life. I want to ask you to forgive me. And the Lord says, not only forgive them, but accept them as family, right? Man, just putting it real, that's hard.
Well, it's like, we don't want God to show grace and mercy on some people. Think about the worst of the worst offenders.
Not just some people, the people that hurt us.
Well, but you think about the worst of the worst offenders.
Sure.
Out there in the prison system today, and then you hear what they've done, you're just like, oh my goodness, they should go to hell and burn and this and that. But
as we all should.
That's true.
Right.
We don't think about that in those moments. We think about the actions.
Sure.
And so if that, you know, let's say that was committed to you, against you or your family, you know, that's a hard one. It's the reason why none of us here are the Lord.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and be the kid in the room in one of Jeff's classes here. Cause
here we go.
Right. The reality is the biblical answering is like, man, we should forgive.
Right.
But to Jeff's point earlier, if it happens to us, if we feel wronged or we are the ones wronged, like that's where our flesh sinks in and goes, man, I'm all for forgiving people, telling other people they should forgive people that have hurt them. But when it does hit close to home, it's difficult. And that's why, to your point, Tommy, we're not the Lord, because we want to define good by our definition. Like, even you talk about somebody that's maybe murdered somebody, be like, man, if I define good, I'm not a murderer, therefore I am better, or I'm good, I'm a good person. And the Lord said, that's not how I define it. Yeah. So that's a lot of wrestling with if something did.
Yeah.
If we were hurt in such ways, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It hits differently it's easy to read the story of Philemon and go, well, number one, he shouldn't have had a slave, right? Like, we're not okay with that. So he should forgive and make him, like, that's, to me, that's an easy one to say, I could forgive that. But then you take someone, and just being real and where we're at today, and someone who has abused my daughter, right? And
what's her name? Who are they?
And they go to prison or whatever and serve their time and come back, and they're just like, I want you to forgive me. And not only that, I want to be a member of your church. I want to serve alongside you in ministry.
Man, that's tough. Look,
like, just think about that, right?
You know where my mind goes is that movie, The Forge.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're not ruining anything if you haven't seen it, but it's been out for a good minute. But that whole concept of a men's discipleship group and one of the early guys that's the start of the men's discipleship group is the one that was the drunk driver that hit the kind of the founding members guy's son, and they took him in, and yeah. like, man, like that is, tell me your eyes didn't water up right. a little bit when you
100%.
Yeah.
That's, but to me, I mean, that's the part of the gospel that is powerful, because then it's, once again, we go back to the truth that we talked about in the last episode of why are we here? We're not here to be justified. We're here to glorify God. And what is the best way to glorify God is to live as he lived and glorified the Father in his death on the cross on our behalf, right? He took the penalty, the payment on the cross for our sins because we deserved hell, as Tommy mentioned earlier. And here we have Paul saying, hey, whatever Onesimus did, whatever he took from you, put that on my account, right? Like that's living the gospel out in a way that's like hard. On all parties.
I just want to speak from maybe the critical side of it, though. Let's just talk through this a little bit.
Well, we know who wouldn't forgive. No, I'm kidding. No, we're listening. I'm kidding.
Here's a question I'll pose to you, though.
Yeah.
And I'm really thinking about it. You all have children. Is it different if it's $5 and Paul says, all right, he took $5, I'm going to pay you $10? Versus, I mean, if he did something to his kids. Like if he committed a crime, mm-hmm. would Paul take the same position? We don't know what he did.
Sure.
Right?
Does it matter?
Yeah. I don't think it matters according to scripture. And again, I'm
I think
not
that
saying,
there's a punishment though for
there's consequences that yes, are different.
Yeah, there's
100%.
Yeah.
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 There's consequences to Jeff's point, but like this is again where like it's in Isaiah, right? Like the Lord's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So it's like, if
no, I get that.
The Lord is saying like, hey, forgive.
Yeah.
He doesn't give degrees of it.
I'm posing the question, not from God's point of view, but from the man's point of view, from the, you know, the culture of that time,
right?
The laws of that time. We have laws. And if you break those laws, there is punishment
right.
for that. And I just wonder.
And Philemon would have been 100% justified in going, I accept your apology, but you're going to prison for what you did.
And that's where I think it makes it radical.
Right.
Is like, we can be justified, right? Something happened even to the example Jeff gave. Yeah. We can be justified and be like, hey, I don't want that person anywhere near our family.
Right.
And I'm justified in doing that. And there's also consequences. You're doing time. You've done time. No thanks.
And I think that there are certain circumstances where that's appropriate and that is okay. Like you, like if there's a danger to your family and to your household, like there should be that protection put in place.
Yeah. Let me go a little bit further, right? Agree. But if Jeff in the spirit and that forgiveness is like, hey, you know what? Protecting my family, but you know what? I'm going to meet with you in the mornings at a coffee shop and we're going to have a Bible study and start to learn if this man is genuine, sincere. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's where my mind goes. Like, man, could you even get to that
and
point?
That's what we talked about too in class was like, hey, if you were Philemon and Onesimus returned back to you and said all these things and you had a letter from Paul, which was, you know, a big deal to say, receive this guy, forgive this guy and move forward, accept him as a brother. Do you think Philemon was like, all right, I'll give you 3 months to prove yourself. Like a trial period, right. You know, like there's this kind of trust that needs to be rebuilt. And it's not necessarily wrong, I think, I just think that's natural. But, man, it's hard to have zero limits to those things, to just truly, I forgive you, I love you, let's move forward in that. And but that, to your point, Justin, I think that's why it's so radical. You know, that's not natural.
And you got to preface it with the Lord has to be in it. It's not just a blanket.
Right.
Okay. You know what I mean? Like we're talking like Lord involved and
we're talking about somebody that was lost and is now found in Christ. And
Tom, to your point, and I get where you're going, man. My head's there all day long, but I keep wrestling with the, if it were something happened to me, the other part that Jeff mentioned, because Ephesians 4:31-32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So when you look at that, it's like, man, what did he do? Yeah. Well, he didn't go, hang on, whose sin is whose? Okay, right. Christ for those, not for these. He's like, right. for all. So yeah. That's where it kind of hits heavy, where you're like, man,
yeah,
it's tough.
Sorry.
Sorry, what? No, I still...
it's a heavy one.
I'll still sit on the position that if Paul, in his walk with the Lord, discerned that in this situation, that's what was called for this guy to reconcile with this man.
There's a lot of factors that
are going
on.
I think there are some cases where that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that we don't forgive. I'm saying there are some things, though, that we wouldn't bring someone back into our life. And I think you hit the nail on the head is when we're fully pursuing the Lord, when we know that that's what our calling is and we feel that in our spirit, and maybe we have that same affirmation through another brother who is also doing the same, those conditions combined create this.
Which kind of triggers another question, you know, because what you're saying is true. Like I agree with all that. But also makes you wonder, if we're doing all those things, could we even get ourselves to a place where we're wanting to pray about, hey, Lord, am I to forgive this person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not even talking about presenting like your family in a tough situation or them not being protected, but just the, like, man, overcoming the fleshly side of things and praying that.
I honestly think that's the hardest part because once you allow that, then you've opened the door for the forgiveness, you know, for the full reconciliation.
Right.
So I think the hardest part is that initial step.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Because letting go of the bitterness, letting go of what you think you deserve and, the justice or whatever, that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do have a question for you, Jeff. Sorry. I want to divert just a minute.
Okay.
In seminary, so you have a lot of degrees.
No, not really.
Bachelor's, master's.
That's it.
In divinity or whatever. I'm going to look over here on the wall here.
I got my master's in missiology.
Yeah.
So,
do they teach you how to pronounce the books of the Bible? Because you said... Philemon, is that the proper pronunciation, or is it Philemon?
I've only heard of Philemon.
I've heard some people say Philemon. I know that's not right. Like,
that's not right.
But I've always said Philemon, not Philemon.
One kid today said one Simus for Onesimus. I thought that was pretty good.
That's awesome.
I mean, yeah. Sound it out.
Yeah.
Dang, good for him.
Yeah.
Trying to sound it out.
So no, they don't teach you that. You just kind of pick it up.
Well, to be honest, I Google...
Well, I do some words like pronunciation.
Pronunciations, like legit pronunciations of names. Yeah. So
I just say we say Phil, Philip. We don't say file up.
It's true.
Philemon. That's how I've said it.
You said no, Philemon?
I thought Philemon.
Yeah. I'm going to start calling you Thomas.
No. Thomas. Thomas.
Thomas.
or Tomas.
Yeah.
Christine calls me that, and then she follows that up with something that rhymes with it, starts with a D.
Yeah.
Tomas is a...
Oh, wow.
Dome.
I just thought of hummus, and now I'm hungry.
So, you know, the principle here, though, is exactly right. I mean, is what you're saying. I get the principle of it, and that is that we should have a forgiving heart just like God has forgiven us. There's not... You know,
there's not condition on it.
There's no condition
on it.
That's
the thing that's hard.
And there's behaviors that aren't on a certain weight or scale that makes one behavior worse than another in the sight of God. But man has put that in place. And, you know, we get sidetracked with that weighing of things. I think that does.
The conditions one's a great statement.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff that is biblical that then man, and by man, I mean men and women, humanity, create layers, levels, conditions for, and then we justify it.
Yeah.
Like there's man-made conditions of things, and biblically there's not conditions of forgiveness.
And there can't be. And I say that because, I've had men tell me, I love the Lord and I follow him, but if he does this...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not okay with that.
Or if this happens.
Right.
Yeah.
If it takes my wife or it takes my kids, like, you know, basically I'm done. It's like conditional. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and it can't be that way. What if the greatest thing is the hardest thing?
So how often, though? You know?
Dude, how that was often? Deep. Can we just acknowledge that for a minute? That was deep. That.
Say it again.
What if the greatest thing is the hardest thing? You have to walk through that hardest thing for the greatest glory to be to God. Your purpose.
That's scary, though, too.
Man, I want to be out on this one. Well, this is a tough topic.
Let me say this. I may make it tougher, but I'm going to say it gingerly. How often, and I'm going to use that word, the church, kind of overall arching, not our church, not me, but every church has this, I think, to an extent, conditions on who they accept and who they don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about the principles of the Bible as they relate to Jesus and God and how he loves us unconditionally, yet we as believers, we as the body of Christ, the church, in many cases, we fail at that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it goes back to those things where we become the one that sets a standard of saying, mm-hmm. God, you can't do that. Not that, not those people, not that person, you know, whatever it is, not that sin.
Exactly.
Right. And it just can't, they're not okay with that. And who are they to say that?
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit before just on different things. And, you know, I would say in today's society, while racism is still prevalent in many places, it is less prevalent than obviously than decades past, right? But I would say that on the same level that racism was, the people of the church have against certain people in society. Yeah. Whether it's whatever we think their sin is or whatever their sin is, we've put weight and conditions on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's a topic that, you know, is for another podcast for sure. I don't think we have time to cover.
No, we don't.
Where you're going with it, but.
That's why I didn't go there.
Yeah. And
but I'm touching on it because it relates.
It does relate. It does relate. And we look at it because we say, oh, all these other sins that I identify with and struggle with, I can easily forgive those because I have to, or else I can't forgive myself. But those I don't do.
Right.
So, no. There's zero grace for that.
Exactly.
Where's that?
So it's the same principle of completely without condition, forgiving someone who's wronged us, who's done something against us. It's the same principle for the society that we live in. We don't extend the same grace to certain people groups.
Right. Yeah. And you know, it's got to be, in many ways, to Justin's point, it's got to be radical. It doesn't make sense to our society.
And I would even be...
And so, really to church.
I'd even be so bold to say, and we'll say this on another episode, but today, in today's message that we heard today, it was mentioned that if we see certain teachings or certain ways that contradict or distract or pull people away from God, that we should call those out. You know, and so sometimes it's not the direct teaching, but sometimes our friends, our fellow church members need a lesson in love. And
a lot of times it doesn't come in direct statements. It comes in a side joke.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a statement like that you're like, huh. Caught me off guard. I wasn't ready for it. Should I say something? Did they really mean that? You know, and it kind of leaves you not saying anything, right. You know, and then anyway,
it's challenging for sure.
It is. It's a difficult one,
but it's all to make us more like Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to go through refinement and, you know, we say refined by fire. Well, I said, it's pretty painful for some of us, especially prideful men, I would say, I can put myself in that bucket, to admit that my way of thinking is wrong, that I haven't been doing it this right way, that I need to humble myself and learn how to be more Christ-like and let these things go that I've not, yeah. you know.
I think the simplest way to do it, and let's go back to forgiveness and unforgiveness. If you just swap places, so whether it's a sin that you don't relate to or not, just take a second, put yourself in their shoes, and think about how the church is responding to that sin, that person, because of that sin. Or how would you change if you were the one in the wrong, if you were the Onesimus that's going back and saying, listen, I'm a completely different person. Man, please don't hold me to the past anymore. You know, like, I want you to know that I am 100% sorry for what I did. I handled it wrong. All the things, would you please forgive me? And then to be not only forgiven, right?
But to be made an equal.
Be made an equal to be part of a family, you know, a brother or sister. And so a lot of us listening would say, easier said than done. And it's really hard with family, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lifetime of hurt.
Especially the family that sees you in the private and the uh-huh. behind the scenes.
And knows your past and all
the Monday
things.
Through Saturday.
Brings up all yeah. the stuff. Yeah,
right.
For sure.
I think, yeah.
But are you living a changed life? Are you living one that's abiding in Christ so that they see the difference, so that they respond differently, you know, and those kinds of things. And in the same way, you know, praying for those family members.
And it takes consistency.
Yeah.
And that's really where, you know, the fruit of consistency
yep.
comes from.
Over time, for sure. That's so powerful.
Yeah.
And the older I get, the more powerful that gets.
Yeah.
You know, somebody that's lived a life,
getting old.
A faithful life. It's rare, number one, to see it and to be a part of it, but to see the fruit of a life surrendered to yeah. the Lord, man, there's nothing yeah. that compares to that.
It's not too late. If you're sitting there listening and you're like, man, I have all these regrets.
I'm as old as Tommy.
And I, you know, feel like I've wasted so much of my time and my life doing it wrong. Well, number one, you're not the only one who thinks that.
100%.
None of us in this room have spent a lifetime chasing the Lord. We all wish that we could go back and do things differently, but we can't. But what we can do is capture today and take a hold of where we're at today and set a plan and a path to be the man that God or the woman or the person that God has called us to be. And it just takes consistent small steps day in and day out, and you can start today.
Yeah. Ultimately, it comes down to this: humble yourself and be obedient to glorify God, whatever that takes, zero conditions. And so let the Lord do that. Let him use you. Thanks for tuning in, guys.